Yeah, so tonight we want to continue our fellowship and really, yeah, we've seen quite a bit so far that really everything that we do must be acceptable to the Father according to His Word.
Amen.
Right. We must make sure that we are in the right place, which is the Holy Jerusalem, the place which God has chosen.
Amen.
And what do we do here as the holy and royal priesthood? Well, we keep the feasts and we learn to bring the offerings.
Amen.
And there's even, God even specified a time for the offerings to be brought, and we know this is at the Lord's table. When we keep the Lord's, the feasts together, we also bring the offerings to the Father.
Amen.
Amen. And in all these things, it must be acceptable to the Father.
Amen.
And of course, with the offerings, we need to keep in mind that it is not anything of ourselves, because we, by ourselves, are not acceptable to the Father. But it must be, the substance must be Christ. And He is the only one who's qualified.
Amen.
Amen. So let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, together.
And you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
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 Amen. We are being built up a spiritual house,
a
holy priesthood, to offer up
spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Lord, may we live in His consciousness.
Amen.
That we are the holy priesthood.
Amen.
And may we be trained and learn to offer up spiritual sacrifices.
Amen.
Acceptable to God our Father through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
No longer animal sacrifices.
Right.
But now Christ as the spiritual sacrifice.
Amen.
Acceptable to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Lord, we thank you that you are these sacrifices for us.
Amen.
You are well pleasing to the Father.
Amen.
And through experiencing you, Lord, we can be well pleasing to the Father.
Amen.
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 Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
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 Jesus.
Amen.
Let's read one more verse together. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14.
For by one offering He has perfected forever those who are being sanctified.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. You are this one offering.
Amen.
And you are perfecting us.
Amen.
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 Yeah. Amen. Amen. Right.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, so there are five different offerings according to Leviticus. And if you haven't read through that part of Leviticus yet where all the offerings are, then I would encourage you to do so. Because there are many, many details. In fact, it takes quite a long time to really know, even understand the depth of how much each offering entails and how we can experience it in our daily living.
Yeah.
And even the short amount of time we have here, we can only do a brief overview, and hopefully we'll get even more into each offering. Actually, each offering should have at least one meeting, but at least one conference. Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
So The first offering is, of course, the burnt offering. And because it is first, it is also, well, not just because it's first, but it is the most important offering. Because what it means is that the Lord, as the reality of the burnt offering, is the one who was fully obedient to the Father for the Father's purpose. And in everything, his whole life on the earth, he was completely 100% obedient. Mm-hmm. Not one time was he ever having his own agenda or doing his own thoughts, but he was fully one with the Father. Mm-hmm. And this is also an offering that we can experience in our daily living. Not, you know, because by ourselves we are just disobedient to God. But by taking Christ as our burnt offering, we can learn obedience to the Father when he speaks to us, especially in the things pertaining to his church, to his holy city. Mm-hmm. And there are many little things that we can experience, and the goal is also not just to stay in experiencing the little things of the burnt offering, just little instances of obedience in our daily living, but it is that eventually we would grow the offerings, right? In Leviticus, it speaks about there's one burnt offering that is a dove or a turtle dove, which is a small bird. And then there's also a sheep, and eventually there's an oxen. And you can see the progression. Eventually we want to be those who, as we are daily experiencing the Lord in his obedience, then we would grow more and more obedient in bigger and bigger things. And this should really be our prayer that, Lord, I want to grow in my experience of you.
Amen.
Especially in pertaining to the burnt offering, being fully consumed, living a life that is well-pleasing to the Father.
Amen.
Amen. And, there's several verses I was reading, praying over concerning the burnt offering. And one of them is John 4:34. It says, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
Amen.
And of course, you know, if we just look at ourselves, how many times do we want to do the Father's will? It's not very often. It's only when it's just convenient. And that is really why we need Christ as this burnt offering.
Yeah.
For him, it was his food is to do the will of him who sent him.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And to finish his work.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, this is, it really is food, spiritual food,
yes.
Especially for the Father.
Mm-hmm.
When the burnt offering is experienced in us,
yeah.
That... You know, even in something as simple as when the Lord tells us to open our mouth concerning the gospel, then we can experience the Lord is our obedience. Lord, I don't know what to say. I am not willing in and of myself, but I want to experience you as the burnt offering and obeying you and opening my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just one experience of that. But another experience can also be when the Lord tells us to do something that we don't want to do, then we can really experience that burnt offering and say, Lord, of myself, I cannot do this, but through Christ as my obedience, yeah. I can now do it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
And, yeah, and also John talks a lot about the burnt offering. And another verse is, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
What's that?
John 6:38. Amen, Lord Jesus. So as we learn to experience Christ, we really, our lives should also have a visible change. Our progress should be made evident.
Mm-hmm.
that, yeah, it's no longer so intermittent where we just experience the burnt offering every so often. Mm-hmm. But more and more every day, mm-hmm. we would learn obedience to the Father, mm-hmm. just as Christ also did when he was on this earth.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Amen.
And yeah, the next offering is also very important, and it's very practical in many aspects of our living. It is the meal offering. This is concerning the humanity of Christ. And when we speak about the humanity, it is his very nature. His human nature was so fine, and it was so pure. It is so pure. And when you think about ourselves, our humanity is very fallen. And if you even look at our rooms, if you look at someone's room, that's an expression of the humanity often. If it's really messy, then your first impression is, oh, this person is really messy. And maybe he doesn't have a lot of discipline or things like that. But one example that the Lord gave us was when he resurrected, the first thing he did, he didn't just run outside and say, "Praise the Lord, I'm resurrected." But he actually took the handkerchief and the grave clothes and folded them neatly in the tomb. And even the handkerchief that covered his face was in a separate place. So everything was very organized. Everything that the Lord did was organized. And this is just one small aspect, also, especially when it came to dealing with so many people. The Lord's humanity was really what drew them to himself. It was an expression of God's nature, and because he cared for the people.
Amen.
How many times are we, you know, just so selfish and focused on ourselves? But the Lord really had such a care and a love, and not just caring out of his heart, but not doing anything, but he even fed, how many people was it? 10,000. And 10,000 people went. This was really, the Lord had such a burden for people. And we can also experience this. Whenever the Spirit speaks to us that we need to have a care for people more and to pray for others, to remember others in prayer, and even if we're giving hospitality, all of these are such practical opportunities to experience the Lord as the meal offering.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And maybe we can also read one verse in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 22. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Spoke about the Lord as the unleavened bread. In him was no leaven, no deceit. Quite the opposite of us. We always, if there's something that's at stake, the temptation is always to deceive. Like the one time at work where I discovered a glitch in the system that would show that I did more work than I actually did. And that thought that came in, and I wanted to just do it so I didn't have to do so much work. And this thought is really from our sinful flesh, from the enemy. But the Lord had no deceit in his mouth. And we know that our mouth is connected to our heart. So there was definitely no deceit in his heart either.
Yeah.
And this is the Lord's fine humanity that we need to experience. And when we have these real experiences of Christ as the burnt offering and the meal offering, then we can take these experiences, and a good idea is to write them down, and then when we come to the Lord's table, we can bring them as offerings to the Father.
Amen.
Amen. So may we all learn to do this.
Amen.
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 This afternoon, we also talked about the feast, and the feasts are prepared by God for our enjoyment. And this evening, regarding the offerings, the importance is that it is prepared by us for God's enjoyment. And they go together, and we need the feast. And in order for us to be able to prepare the offerings. And the key word here, of course, is prepare. Right? Because we don't have a concept when we come before the Lord to worship Him that we need to be prepared. Yeah. So as His priests, we now need to learn.
Right.
And the divine order was given in Leviticus of offerings. And according to our concept, the first offering should be the sin and the trespass offering, because we are sinful. Mm-hmm. But this is not what the Lord came to the earth for, firstly. Mm-hmm. Right? So this is important that we first know that the burnt offering is number one.
Right. Right?
Because He came not first to save us from our sins, even though we like to think so, but He firstly came to do the will of the Father.
Right. Amen.
So in our daily life, in our experience, we need to take the Lord as our burnt offering. This is a matter of obedience. There are many situations that we all face in our daily life, whether we could choose my will or choose God's will.
Right.
And it's not that my will is bad, but the problem is my will. It's not the Father's will. And if it's in conflict, then we need to learn to obey and take Christ. And this is the key to the burnt offering. That He is our life, and He lived a life that is well-pleasing to the Father, as shared in John. And He always did God's will. And He fully was obedient to the Father, and He was one with the Father.
Right.
Yeah, this takes time for us to experience and digest. And may we learn to experience Christ in this way and bring this to the Father on the Lord's Day.
Right.
It will really glorify and satisfy the Father.
Amen.
Remember the Father, when He saw Christ, He says, "This is the one in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved."
Amen.
Not Moses, not Elijah, no one. So we need to experience Christ in this way.
Amen.
That's why burnt offering is Leviticus chapter 1.
Right.
And chapter 2 is the meal offering. Mm-hmm. With the humanity of the Lord Jesus, I think it's important we also realize that He passed through all kinds of sufferings. Mm-hmm. Sufferings are necessary. Although we don't like it, but we need it. Mm-hmm. You know, as children, we have to get up in the morning to go to school. Right? Sometimes, I don't want to go to school. I want to stay in bed. But if we do that, then we learn nothing. We repeat first grade. Mm-hmm. So then when we go to school, we have to take a test. We have to pass a test. Right? Oh, I hate tests. I hate homework. Well, that's necessary for the perfecting of human life. And what about spiritual life? Even more, it needs to pass through many tests. And only the Lord's life, as the meal offering, can pass through all the tests. And so we need to take Christ as our meal offering.
Amen.
The humanity of Jesus. This is very important. It was good. You know, it was shared that a brother had to wash dishes. Wash dishes and more dishes. Right? And more dishes. Okay. This is an experience of Christ as the meal offering.
Right.
It is good. As we are washing the dishes, we pray to the Lord. Lord, I am also sinful and dirty, and I need to be washed.
Right.
As we shared last night, not just the outside, but also the inside.
Right.
Not only the inside, but also the outside.
Yeah.
And there's two different kinds of washing, one by the blood and the other by life, by the Lord's washing of water in the Word.
Right.
And we need constant cleansing. If we have this realization that, Lord, I have so much imperfection in my humanity,
yeah.
I need to take you as my humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third offering is the peace offering. And this is also very important. First of all, Christ is our peace with God. So you might be okay with me, but are we okay with God? That's more important,
yeah.
Right? But we may have oneness, so-called. Right? Now, I'm one with you. Right? I like you, you like me. But if we don't have peace with God, then it doesn't mean anything.
Right?
So can you really say deep in your heart, you have peace with God? Only Christ can do this. Christ is our peace. And we need to experience Him as this. Before we can have peace with men, we need to have peace with God. And included in the peace offering is also the thanksgiving offering, the vow and the free will offering, and the wave and the heave offering. It's all included in the peace offering. And we need to experience this. It's a lot for us to enjoy and experience, but we need to get into it.
Right.
It would be nice for us at the Lord's table meeting. I have a heave offering and a wave offering. Right? It's not usual that we hear this, but we need to get deeper into the experience.
Right?
And then, of course, there is the sin offering and the trespass offering. And these two need to go together. The sin offering means I, the old man, has been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And it sets us free from the law and the dominion of sin and death. By the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. The sin offering deals with the root cause of sin. Right? And so this is really important.
Yeah.
And we need to experience the Lord in this way. It's good when we come to the table meeting to hear the saints say, this week, I did not give in. Right? Sin has no dominion over me. I wanted to lose my temper, but the Lord says, no, right? And I obey. That is an experience of the sin offering. Setting free from all your sins. And then trespass offering is the matter of the forgiveness and cleansing of all of our sins by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will result in sanctification and righteousness. Right? We need to apply the Lord's blood when we trespass. But I think it's good for us to know that it's not good for us if we just bring the trespass offering. Because that means we just trespass. We just made an error. The Father, okay, that's okay, but you know, we need to bring the trespass offering along with the sin offering that we have overcome. Then the Father can be really satisfied. So this order is really important.
Yeah.
From the burnt offering first, And then the meal offering, peace offering, sin and trespass offering. This is actually the order. When you read the gospel, this is how the Lord came. If we don't have appreciation of what was written in the book of Law of Moses, we will not know Christ. We will just know, oh, he died for me. That's it. That's okay, but that's so little, right? You know, the Bible has such a big, thick book. Two-thirds are in the Old Covenant, right? Only a third is the New Covenant. Most Christians only know the third. They actually don't even know the third, because you need the two-thirds to know the third. So as we get into these offerings, we realize, wow, how little Christ do I know? When we say, oh, I experienced Christ, that's very general. How did you experience Christ? Right, we need to be specific. We need to really get into it. Then we have something to bring to the Father. So one of the commandments in Exodus is we should not come empty-handed. So it's good to be prepared, to labor, to have something to bring to the Father. And that these offerings are God's food, right? Mm-hmm. To satisfy God for God's enjoyment. This is the thing that I really lack. I come to the meetings. What do I get out of this meeting? We need to change our concept. Father, I want you to be satisfied in this meeting. And if we would have such a realization, then we will also, as God's people, be able to eat and enjoy this food. Right? It's a feast of God, between God and men. But firstly for God, and then for us. And this is only to be enjoyed in God's appointed place, as we read last night, which is in Jerusalem. So, it means we cannot just offer this anywhere we like. In the shower, as we're driving. How do you offer a proper offering to worship the Father in that sense? So when people say, oh, I offer all the time, that means they don't want to do it. Okay, if you don't want to do it, that's fine. But I want to do it. I want to practice it. Let's practice it properly. According to God's ordained way. And the Lord has showed us practically every Lord's table meeting is an opportunity for us first to enjoy the feast. And then at the end of the table meeting that we have an opportunity to offer to the Father. It's wonderful. This is not a tradition. This is a practice that we need to get into it. So when people say, oh, this could be a tradition, they just don't want to do it. They'll call all kinds of things. We call on the name of the Lord? Do we read God's word? Do we come to the meetings? We need to have a proper habit, practice. Really labor so that the Lord can be satisfied. And I really appreciate over these last few years, the Lord has really recovered the matter of the feasts and the offerings. May we really get into them. And we have this chart on the table, if you don't already have it. On one side is the feast, and the other side are the five offerings. We can get into it and really experience the Lord in a specific way.
I actually appreciate Christ as burnt and meal offering. Well, for us, let us look at the history. The children of Israel, God has shown them many marvelous work, but yet they still fail. But for us, if we still think like, oh, that's children of Israel, we're better than them, let's look at us. At the moment that the meeting end, what's in our head? 10 minutes after, 30 minutes after, an hour after, what is it in our head?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, and or even during the meeting, we space out what is it in our head? Is it lunch or the father's work? Right? Yeah, that's why the father said to the children of Israel, said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. And let's look at our situation just as that. Right? That's why I really appreciate that Christ is the only one that can be our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to the Father.
Amen.
Praise the Father.
Amen.
Yeah. I think this is the Lord speaking to us today. It's a very timely word, especially since we've had several gospel presentations on the coming of the great day of God's wrath.
Yeah.
And perhaps we can turn to Malachi chapter 3 and read verses 2 through 4 together. See, this is really not only the offering satisfying to the Father, but it'll also train us and perfect us to save us from the great day of God's wrath. Right. Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 through 4.
But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Then
the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years.
Amen. The two aspects that really stuck out to me here was that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness.
Amen.
As we've seen throughout the fellowship this weekend, it's really according to God's way. According to God's desire, is it righteous? Not according to our perspective.
Right.
And the only one that is fully righteous in the Father's eyes is Christ himself.
Amen.
That's why it has to be the Christ within us that we bring that's well-pleasing or acceptable to the Father.
Amen.
And then I appreciate in verse 4 it says, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord. Then it will be pleasant to him again as in the days of old. So may the Lord continue to encourage us to get into this practice. That our offerings will be made in righteousness.
Amen.
And be pleasant to him.
Amen.
One thing that we get asked quite often is, what is the difference between an offering and sharing? Isn't it good enough to just to be able to share something for the edification of the brothers and sisters? Isn't that good enough? But the matter of the offering is not just about speaking or sharing or prophesying for the edification, but it has to be the fruit of our laboring and preparing, which actually causes change in our daily life. And that is why in Hebrews, here it says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. It So with the offering, there has to be the perfecting.
Yeah.
There has to be the change in us.
Yeah.
Right? It's one thing to say, you know, I was really touched by the word. Mm-hmm. But then nothing changes. Mm. Right? Maybe we hear a good word on the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And we even confirm it with a testimony saying, I was really touched by the word. But then after we go home, we forget about the word. And nothing changes. But if we are preparing Christ as the offering, and situations arises and there's the opportunity to take Christ and say, right now, at this point, Lord, I want to experience you as a sin offering, mm-hmm. to say no to my flesh.
Amen.
I want to get angry. I want to be upset. I want to react when my girls do something wrong. But at that point, I said, Lord, I want to say no to the flesh and take you as my sin offering.
Amen.
And there's a change there.
Yeah.
And that change becomes an offering that we can bring to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is what pleases the Father the most.
Yeah. Right.
Right? He gives us Christ, but if we just give Christ without touching it, it's like if I give you a gift, Carlos, maybe I give you a nice iPad in a box, I give it to you, and then a week later you give it right back. You haven't even opened it. And how would, you know, if you gave me that and I didn't open it and I give it right back to you, how would you feel?
Upset.
Upset? Why?
It's like you didn't care.
I didn't use it. Mm-hmm. It didn't benefit me. Right? And this isn't the same way. God has done so much for us, and he has given us such a wonderful Christ.
Yeah.
The one who is obedient to the Father, mm-hmm. the one who has this fine humanity. And we can talk about it all we want, but if we don't apply him in our daily life to affect change in our life, then how will we be able to bring an offering, the best of the first fruits, to offer to the Father?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the difference between an offering and a sharing.
Yeah.
The offering, really, in the end, it has to be us experiencing Christ, which causes change in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And this change becomes the fruit, and this is what we can bring to the Father.
Yeah.
And then the Father may be satisfied.
Amen.
So may we all enter into this practice.
Yeah.
Right, this is the conference, or this weekend fellowship says to practice
yes.
the holy and royal priesthood.
That's right.
Every situation is an opportunity for us to practice.
Yeah.
Right, even this afternoon, our 24 hours were broken down. We have 8 hours to sleep, 8 hours to work, and 6 hours to eat. That leaves you just 2 hours to do all the other stuff. I have no time.
Mm.
No, actually, we do have lots of time.
Yeah.
While we're working.
Yeah.
While we are taking care of chores. While we are raising our families. And especially as it pertains to the things of God.
Mm-hmm.
Those are all opportunities for us to be able to apply and prepare Christ.
Yes.
As all the spiritual sacrifices.
Right.
Affecting change in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
Perhaps we can read a couple more verses regarding the meal offering in Hebrews 2, 10 through 11. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 through 11. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one.
For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren.
Amen. Yeah, that's one aspect that I kind of forgot to highlight in the meal offering was the Lord, as the captain of our salvation, was made perfect through sufferings. And his whole life consisted of many sufferings. Even the fact when he was born, the God of this universe had to go through the process of human birth. What a to lower himself in such a way, and to be limited in such a way. That was only the beginning, but there were, even during his ministry on this earth, he was persecuted by all the religious ones and mocked many times, despite all the wonderful things that he did, and many, many sufferings. And so for us, you know, we should learn not to run away from sufferings, but instead learn to take Christ as this meal offering.
Yeah.
And really use every suffering in our living, whether it's something like washing dishes that we don't enjoy doing, or especially, you know, when we stand as a testimony before our friends, not to so easily back down when they give us a hard time, but to stand for the truth, just as the Lord did.
Amen.
And so, yeah, may we also enter this experience of being perfected through the sufferings.
Amen.
Hebrews chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. It says, "For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest
in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people.
For in that
he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted."
I really appreciate, we just read that it was, he is the one unique offering. And that, as what we just heard, his first job was to fulfill God's will, right?
That's
his
right.
purpose. Mm-hmm. And when we look at his humanity in the Gospels, it wasn't just that in each situation we see the Lord's humanity, but everything that he did was connected to the Father's will.
Yes.
And so his humanity was the perfect meal offering.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think today we're still centered on our own experiences and little sufferings day by day, and and we think, oh, okay, these are little disjointed meal offerings that we can experience. Mm-hmm. But our meal offerings, I think, also need to grow.
Right.
And in light of not only for our personal living, but also for the church life and for the Lord's purpose.
Amen.
And I was reminded of Colossians chapter 1, verse 24 and 25. Where Paul, also related to the sufferings that we just spoke, mm-hmm. We can read that maybe. Colossians 1, 24 and 25. Mm-hmm.
I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ, for the sake of his body, which is the church,
of
which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God.
Amen. And here we can see, I mean, the Lord obviously suffered everything he possibly could and fulfilled his whole work, but there are still more sufferings for the sake of his body that we also need to experience.
Yeah.
Right.
And to be perfected through these sufferings. Mm-hmm. And I don't have the utterance, but I do feel that, you know, we need to continue on in our experience and press on, that the meal offering, the baking, and all the things, we need to experience that also specifically for the church life.
Right.
It needs to grow, because that's what the meal offering was that the Lord Jesus did when he lived on this earth. It was for God's purpose. It was so that the church could be brought forth.
Right.
And now we also, as we experience Christ, we need to, our human living also needs to have that same kind of purpose in our
Amen.
Meal offerings.
Amen. That's right. Absolutely. Yes. Very good.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
It's not the suffering.
Yeah.
It's the goal.
Yeah.
Right.
If you just have the sufferings in view without the goal, your suffering may be in vain. Mm. If you are just persecuted, not for the Lord's sake, not for the sake of his name, then that persecution is just persecution.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, so this is why all these offerings is a very specific offering.
Yeah.
It's not just experiencing here and there, but definitely with a view to fulfill God's plan and purpose.
Amen.
Even the Lord accomplishing the peace, right? He's our peace.
Right.
It's not just so that I won't be quarreling with this brother sitting next to me. But it's to bring forth a new man.
Amen.
And Christ as all in all. Mm-hmm. There has always need to have the goal in front of us.
Right.
And so if we miss that goal, then it is somewhat meaningless.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat meaningless. That's why we need more fellowship concerning the offering, is to bring out what is important.
That's right.
What is important. And all of these offerings has a wonderful goal, that we will be like Christ for the fulfillment of God's plan and will.
Amen. That's right.
That God will be glorified, that his kingdom will come, that his will be done.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord didn't go through suffering for suffering's sake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it is to bring forth this wonderful new man.
Amen.
Right, to produce God's plan, accomplish his will.
That's
this
right.
is very important.
Amen.
This is very important.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why the experience of Christ as the offering to bring it to the Father is not just because the Father wants the true worship, but it is ultimately, to fulfill God's plan and purpose. If you don't do that, you will not be able to do it.
Right.
You will not be able to fulfill God's plan and purpose. Yeah. So may the Lord open our eyes.
Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Show us all these wonderful things. Mm-hmm. And, all these past years we talk about giving a testimony. The testimony is okay for the edification of the saints. The saints are edified for what? But the offering is exclusive for the fathers. this is very exclusive. And then part of it, the Father will allocate for the saints to eat, to be benefited from it. But the first goal of the offering is to satisfy the Father. And you need to satisfy the Father exactly according to what he wants.
Yeah.
And Leviticus is very precious because if anyone brings to me an offering, you have to bring to him. Uh-huh. It is something that you and I must prepare to bring to the Father for his satisfaction.
Amen.
Not just for the edification. And for the encouragement. I have seen that for 50 some years now. And at the end, it did not accomplish anything. And after the brothers and the saints are so-called edified, they thought they are great. And they do their own thing and go their own way. That is not so much the edification. It doesn't fulfill God's plan. So what we are bringing to the Father is the reality, the essence of Christ in a very specific way.
Amen.
He wants a burnt offering.
Yeah.
That's what he wants.
Yes.
Right. If I experience Christ in some other way, there are many other ways. Oh, I was sick and he healed me. Or, and I had a problem, he helped me. I didn't know where to go. Should I go to conference or should I stay home? And no, I prayed, Father, right? Should I not go? Okay, finally I go. Praise the Lord. So what if you go? And so what if you stay home? Right? These are very general experiences of Christ. Should I go shopping or not? Right, I heard that many years ago. To know the Father's will, should I go shopping? Should I buy that coat? Should I not buy that coat? Father, what is your will? Right, oh, that coat, wow, it's a nice coat. You want it? Buy it.
Irrelevant to God's purpose.
If you buy it, that's okay. If you don't buy it, does it benefit the church in Fountain Valley? If you buy it, if you don't buy the cult, I mean,
nothing to do with.
These are not relevant to what a Father wants from you. That doesn't mean that I don't want to experience Christ in doing certain things. Yes, of course I do. But there's something much more specific that a Father wants for his worship, for me to bring to him and I have to prepare. And it must be Christ in his living on this earth as one who fulfills the will of the Father. And when the Lord said in Matthew chapter 7, not all who said, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of the heavens. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven, he's not talking about whether you buy this pair of shoes or not. Of course it's good to, if the Lord doesn't like it, just forget it. A pair of shoes is a pair of shoes. If I wear this pair of shoes to the meeting, the church will not be more spiritual. Because it is the Father's will. So I wear these shoes, the Father's will. I wear it to the meeting. Wow, that edifies the church. It doesn't edify anything. Maybe it's good for my feet too. Healthy feet. But we are talking about the life of Christ that fulfills the Father's purpose and the will.
Amen.
That brings down that kingdom. And this is where what was shared right now, this point is very important. It's not just for anything, but things that pertain to God.
Amen.
What our Father wants to accomplish today on this earth.
Right.
Yeah.
Of course, in many little things in our life, these are just some training to remind us, I don't want to just do anything, but I want to do things with Christ. It's a good practice.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. Right, today after coming into the house, and I saw the grapefruit still there outside, and already 2 or 3 days standing there, and something within me just says, bring that in and clean it up, instead of letting it stay there. Well, that's very good, but it doesn't edify the church. I mean, but it's good for me because I learned to listen to the Spirit. I learned to listen to what I have to do.
Yeah.
But the very act of cleaning up those grapefruits and brushing it and make it clean and then putting it properly there and then clean that bucket and it's fine, it's very good. But it doesn't edify the church. But it edifies me.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that it profits nothing, but it helps me to learn to be sensitive to what the Spirit is saying. Because in the church life, for God's work, I need to be sensitive to the Spirit.
Amen.
God cannot use a slothful person.
Yeah.
God cannot use a person who is not diligent or who is insensitive and who doesn't feel anything. And if it is dirty, the floor is full of crumbs, it doesn't bother me. I just walk out. And God cannot use such a person. That means if I am not right in my heart, doesn't bother me, I can still go do about my business, what I like. If I can go past a dirty floor and say, oh, it doesn't matter. If my heart is like that, I will also say it doesn't matter. Because I'm insensitive. So that part of a training is good. Because that's what I need. I'm not perfect like the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Lord's suffering is very different. He suffers from those who want to kill him because he's for God, because he's speaking the truth, because he's doing God's will. Now those who want to live a godly life, Paul said, they will be what? Persecuted. We suffer a lot, not because of Christ's sake. Well, right? Right. How many times do we really suffer because of Christ's sake and for the sake of God's plan and purpose? That is why those brothers who got sent away and cast out, they were so happy because it is for the testimony's sake, praise the Lord. How many opportunities can you have to be persecuted because you're standing for the truth and you want to do God's will and you're persecuted? Right. When Lord was on this earth, he was persecuted by his own family members for laughing at him and jealous of him. Right. And when those chief priests, elders, Pharisees, Sadducees, scribes, and they were all persecuting him, not because he was wrong, not because he did something bad, but because he was for God's plan and purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this is the goal. And to suffer, like Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, which is a very wonderful verse, for the sake of his body, the church, and to fill up what is lacking today in the sufferings of Christ. The sufferings of Christ on the cross and all of his suffering on this earth is for salvation, for us to accomplish a wonderful salvation for us. But there's a lot of suffering that Christ cannot suffer as a man today. He has to suffer through us for the building up of the church. People may not like you. People may laugh at you. What, you're the church? Forget it. And, right? To be for the truth, to be righteous for the sake of his testimony. Right? And even if your family laughs at you, so what? When the Lord was on this earth, his own brothers, their family members laughed at him. Didn't even believe in him. And was even jealous of him. And all of these things. And those kind of sufferings are for the fulfillment of God's plan. And Paul's desire is to have the fellowship not of sufferings. What did he say? The fellowship of whose suffering?
His suffering.
His suffering. Not just the fellowship of suffering. There are many kinds of suffering. You fight with your wife or argue with your wife. That's also a suffering. Oh, and you say, I'm sorry. Well, that's also suffering, right? But it doesn't build up the church. Right, but hey, the fellowship of his suffering and to be conformed to his death.
Yeah.
And to know the power of his resurrection. Right? To overcome death. Power of darkness. These and all of these are included in the burnt offering, in the humanity of the Lord Jesus.
Yeah.
The Lord lived on this earth not just to be perfect, but to defeat Satan as a man. We don't have a view of I'm going to defeat this enemy and just crush his head under my feet. Right? And to bring shame to him.
Amen.
Right? To destroy the works of the devil, the Lord. The word says very clearly, 1 John, the Son of Man is manifested to undo and destroy the works of the devil.
Amen.
Yeah. That will accomplish God's purpose. And so to have this in view, you will appreciate all of this offering.
Yeah, that's right.
You will appreciate this offering. Yeah. Because all these offerings will make you exactly like Christ, because this is what he came to do.
Yeah.
Chapter 10 says, behold, I came, or I come, to do your will, O God. To do your will, O God. And we need such a humanity to do the will of the Father, not just to have a good humanity. But the goal is to be a person, to do the will of the Father, to be a burnt offering, Because without that meal offering, you cannot fulfill that burnt offering. The perfection of the humanity of our Lord Jesus Christ is to make him a captain of salvation. Is to make him that perfect high priest that's able to help us to reach God's plan. And
amen.
To reach the goal.
Yeah.
Amen.
And this is why these burnt offering and all of these offerings are very crucial and important. And people try to say, oh, that's in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
No. You ask Moses. Unfortunately, he's not here. But the Lord said it already in chapter. Moses is not talking about ox and sheep and goats and dove and fine flour and first fruits and olive oil and wine. He's not talking about that.
No.
He's talking about Christ.
Amen. Right.
So today, where is Christ? He's the Spirit. It is the Spirit. That's why you have the spiritual offering.
Yeah.
But not any kind of a spiritual offering. How does this spiritual offering look like? You need to know Leviticus. Don't boil the calf in the mother's milk. That is irrelevant to us. I'm allergic to milk, and I never boil a small calf with the milk, so forget about that.
Right.
So there is a spiritual meaning to that. What do you do with the mother's milk with a calf? You feed it so that the calf can grow. Don't boil the calf, you'll kill the calf. What is the milk in the New Testament? Paul says, I fed you with milk. What is that? As a newborn babe being boiled in milk. Peter didn't say that. He says, as a newborn babe desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow. The word of God as milk is for the growth, not for killing the saints. Our teaching is for killing the saints. After the meeting, everyone is boiled. Cooked. And this is the problem. And don't say, oh, that doesn't concern us. It concerns us today. Don't say that's Old Testament, that's the law of Leviticus. No, 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 it is not. You ask the Lord. You ask the anointing what it meant. And so today, Peter says, to offer up spiritual sacrifices. What are these spiritual sacrifices? Peter, how come you didn't tell us what these are? You know what, John, you read Leviticus. Moses already said it so clear, I can't say it more clear than Moses. Except that you need to have the spirit of wisdom and understanding to understand and to really, by the anointing, apply it today. It is a spiritual sacrifice. We need a lot to learn.
Yeah.
We need a lot. So may the Lord open our eyes.
Amen.
Amen. Don't think we already know. Yes, we know something, but we need to continue.
Amen.
Continuing ed.
Yeah. Never graduate.
He never graduated. He already got a PhD in optometry, and I wonder, where are you this weekend? Oh, I have to go to continuing ed. I thought you already had a PhD. Never end.
Amen.
Because there's so much new things we have to learn.
Yeah.
You have to go deeper.
Yeah.
And there are new things discovered.
That's right.
So may the Lord help us.
Yeah,
perfect us by the Holy Spirit teaching us. This is why I need to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Woe to me and to all of us if we stop listening to the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Because there's still so many things we don't know. Eh? You think you know everything in this book? So may the Lord perfect us.
Amen.
Bring us to perfection.
Yes.
We need to be learning all the time. We never finish learning.
Amen.
Even in eternity, we still have to learn.
Yeah.
A lot to discover. Because God is
yes.
God. Look how large this universe is. I can only see as far as the clouds in the sky. Beyond that, I can't see. Unless I buy a telescope. But even the strongest telescope, they still can't reach the end of the universe. And if you think you reach the end, it is expanding. What are you going to do? How big a telescope can man do?
They build up the CERN, right? In Switzerland.
That big, terrible machine that is supposed to finally
reach out molecules.
Right. They call it the God particle. That will create the universe, how the universe is created. This is a devilish plan. And the worst thing is that when it is being initiated, because they finally build it, you know how they initiate that thing? With a demonic ritual. With Satan's picture and all kinds of demonic things. And they call it science. They call it science. It's not very scientific. You don't believe in God, and you initiate that whole thing with a demonic ritual. It's a terrible. I saw it. It's demonic. Why not? Those guys do all those things like that. So something is not right with it. Today we must go the opposite direction. We have to know God more and more. At least what we can know today to prepare for His coming.
Amen.
Man's work is going deeper and deeper into darkness. But we must go higher and higher into the light.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I wish many more people can hear this and realize
Amen.
What God is doing today, but they don't want to hear.
Right.
They only believe. Your great 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 grandfather is an ape. No wonder they act like apes today. Worse than apes.
Worse than animals.
I always joke and say, even the apes will be deeply offended if you say you are like them, their father. Because they are more decent.
But human beings are so indecent, wicked, evil. You don't see the apes inventing weapons of mass destruction.
That's
to
right.
kill all the other apes.
Yeah.
So it must not be evolution. It's, I call it, devolution. Again, I mean, more like the devil. But scripture says we can be more and more like Christ.
Amen.
From glory to glory.
Yes.
Be transformed into the same image.
Amen.
They are being deformed into another kind of image. Into a devilish image. You know those devil worshippers? It is terrible.
Yeah.
The image of the devil is the head of a goat. In a human body. So is he a goat or is he a human? And then upper part is a woman's body. And lower part is a man's body. Is he male or female? No wonder nobody in this whole crazy world today, they don't know if they are male or female. And they don't know if they are man or animals. They are men acting like animals. And there are animals that act like men. Confusion. If you worship Satan, that's what you're going to become. Don't think this is as harmless, what is going on today. No, it's not harmless. That prince of darkness is influencing these people to be like him. But what about us? What are we going to do? What direction are we going? We need to be the true worshippers of the true and living God.
Amen.
Amen.
And then this is what we are doing today. This is what a priesthood, the holy, royal, and righteous priesthood.
Yes.
The building up of God's kingdom is a holy nation.
Amen.
We need to go the other direction.
Yes.
Yeah. Important.
Amen.
That's why, like we'll share tonight, we need a goal in view to see our goal. Right.
Amen.
Right.
Praise the Lord.
And pray, Father, your will be done.
Amen.
That's the Lord's Prayer, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, the prayer to the Father.
Yeah.
That's a very unique prayer.
Yeah. Very appropriate.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
If we have eyes to see, you will see the whole Scripture is talking about the living God.
Yeah.
And His plan and His purpose.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And God's goal of Jerusalem and Zion never changed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Never changed.
From the very beginning of the Bible to the end, Jerusalem, the heavenly, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of God from heaven.
Amen.
And you see the Lamb, Christ is there. And we will be the priest serving him in eternity. We are still the priest. The priesthood is still there. And this wonderful Lamb, the unique sacrifice. Why is he still called a Lamb? Because he is the unique sacrifice. He's still there.
Yes. The offering.
The offering. And the tree of life is still there.
Yeah.
Don't say that, it's Moses. The water, the river of life is still there. Everything is still there. The whole Bible is talking about it. But you need eyes to see. If the Holy Spirit is not enlightening us, then we don't see anything.
Oh, sorry, it's getting late. We'll